All right, welcome to episode 4
of Akron Hour. That's what it is, right, Richie?
What? Yeah.
Episode 4?
Yeah, I'm in the,
It is, it's me, your host, Paul Robinson, with your co-host, Richie Cole.
Hello.
And today we've got guests, Zach Lint, Greg Blair, and Mr. Paul Gilbert.
That's me.
Hello.
It might get confusing with two Pauls, but I think we've decided we're going to call him Paul.
Paul.
You know,
yeah.
Or
actually,
we'll
I was hoping you guys would call me Paul, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's
like,
just...
Like Paul, too? Like the number?
Paul, too.
Okay. All Pauls.
Paul, too. Yeah. Okay.
Like the Paul, like the Paul alphabet of numbers.
Okay.
Paul 1, Paul 2. Paul
Can it be like a Roman numeral Paul? Like Paul, like V?
Paulv.
Paulv. I like Paul better.
Well, then I'm just going to change my name to Paul 6 because I like that. I just like the number 6.
Pylon 6.
Pylon 6.
I'll stick with Greg. Just to make things less confusing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'll Dick Paul.
Yeah. So, Pauls, what do you think of this Greg guy?
I don't know. This Greg Blair. I worked with Greg for quite a few years. So,
yes.
He's a good guy. That's really
good
all
guy
I
Greg.
Have to
Greg.
Say about
Greg.
That.
Or so he
good
thought.
Good guy Greg. Usually I dive into questions right away, like I have the 5 questions, but I honestly had food poisoning the past 2 days, so I didn't really put anything together.
What were the last ones?
Did your dog eat the questions,
Did you put together
Paul?
Food poisoning?
Well, the thing, they were geared towards Meow Meow Kitty, so they're not really relevant, but I can come up with some on the fly.
We can pretend to be Meow Meow Kitty.
If anybody has any ideas for questions, because I like to change them up every week, can you please email them to akronhour@gmail.com, and I would love to take a look over them and get some ideas from you guys. One of the questions I always ask everybody is, have you ever had any near-death experiences that are worth talking about? Because I think that's interesting.
None that are worth talking about.
Okay.
Many, many near-death experiences, all very boring.
All very boring. I'm kind of in the same boat there. A lot of car things that could have and maybe should have happened, and then we wouldn't be here listening to the world's number one podcast.
I spun out on 76 once and almost got hit by a semi.
Ooh. Almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
I put a car into a concrete wall doing about 40 miles an hour one time. That was pretty
You
scary.
Put a car into a concrete wall?
Yeah.
What the?
Well, all right. So what happened was...
Are
it
you
was,
Superman?
Yes. It was a 480 coming down on 271. There's like an overpass there. So some lady tried to change lanes into me, and I was like 16, so I panicked and lost control and ended up in a wall.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's
your death.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
What about Paul?
The one that comes to mind, I don't know how close to death it was, but I was in a sledding accident. I was on an inner tube with several friends who decided to jump off at the last second, and I look back at them, they're all laughing, and I went back first into a pole going very, very fast. And, you know, that the expression of getting the wind knocked out of you, you don't really understand it until you can't breathe because of such an impact on that. And I just remember trying to push air into my lungs, and I stopped breathing for a while, and, you know, I'm dead now, so.
Yeah, right.
Boo.
Well, yes. Well, we all are. That's the twist ending.
Yeah. Yeah, it stinks in here.
Yeah.
Dude, you are... Is it because of the tequila?
No, because of the death.
Oh, the decomposing.
Yeah,
bodies.
The
This is heaven, hell, or
that
tequila.
That sudden accident was a while ago.
You usually build up a...
Tequila helps.
To it.
Keeps you properly lubricated.
What you were saying about the catching your breath, what is it?
Yeah,
getting
the
wind
knocked
out
of you.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's
because
terrifying.
I remember everybody would always use that phrase, and I'd be like... kind of don't really can't really relate to it. And then one time I went snowboarding and went off like it was a small ass ramp, but it was the first time I ever went off a ramp. Went up in the air, went backward, and kind of just landed straight on my back on the ice and just like couldn't breathe. And I was just like, "Fuck, I'm gonna die right here!" But I 10 seconds later, I was fine.
Yeah.
And that was my experience with that. Let's go to another question, Richie.
Okay.
Let's go to what's this one right here? What album or band have you been listening to most recently? That's something you want to get out there.
I don't know. What's the most recent thing I
What was that band from wherever that you were talking about? From Canada? Quebec?
Oh, yeah, I forget what they're called. I found this really cool band. The one dude's really good at drums. They sing in French. So check them out. And then I can't remember what they're called. And then I found a band
we
today.
Can edit that in there. Wait, it's the like guy. L. It's like El Havre, right? Like,
that's it. It's spelled H-A-V-R-E. Yeah. Almost no one has heard of them. I'm one of 600-some people. The dude, I'm in the drummers group on Facebook, and all the drummers post shit that they've done, and no one gives a shit. And I told the guy, I commented, nobody's going to like this. It's too good. And he said, yeah, you're right. No, it was true. And sure enough, like, they're fucking genius. Also, today I found out there's a band called Sumac, S-U-M-A-C. It's the guy from ISIS, the band. And then the bassist is from Russian Circles.
Okay,
and
I like
them. And also These Arms Are Snakes, that bassist. And then the drummer is this guy named Nicky Akishin, who is just, he's one of the best drummers on earth. He's been in a couple bands that none of you will probably have heard of. Actually, you probably know about Baptists, right?
Honestly, it doesn't ring a bell.
At least you're never honest. I hate when people pretend they know the band. That
yeah, I fucking love the song Grooge.
Grooge.
But yeah, they're called Sumac, and I listened to it today, and like, I'm not normally into like the sludgy stuff because it's like really repetitive, but they actually like really like know how to make a song. It was like eight minutes long. The only type of song I will listen to. I don't listen to songs fewer than 11 minutes, but for this one I made an exception.
Okay. What about you, Greg? Any recent albums or bands that are piquing your interest?
Well, I won't say it's recent. This album, this particular album, has come out this year. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a huge metalhead. There is a band
He's
can't
nine
remember
feet if, tall.
I can't remember if they're from San Diego or San Francisco, but the band is called Fallujah. And they just dropped an album this year called The Flesh Prevails. And it's really good atmospheric death metal. It's very unique. It's something that I feel like even people who aren't really into that style of music could get into because it's, you know, it's very rich harmonically, and there's a lot of good stuff, and it's very melodic. And honestly, this may sound kind of weird unless you actually hear it. I'm sure if you listen to it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But if I could describe it with one word, it could be like, it's like sexy death metal.
Sexy death metal.
Yeah, it's like if Sade was a death metal artist. Whoa. Is what this album will sound like. Like, I don't, you know,
I could be
kind of
right.
Gets you in the mood a little bit.
Ooh, I could be into that.
That's my favorite album from this year by far, but I listen to a lot of different stuff though. So
what about you, Paul?
Well,
Paul.
Yeah, I listened to a band, a friend of mine, is in a band called Vinny Vegas. They're from Baltimore, and they're just extremely...
Vinny with a B or Vinny?
Vinny, as in the ECW wrestler, or I think it was WCW, but either way. But yeah, Vinny Vegas, they're really good. They're from Baltimore. They released an album, I think it was last year, though, called The Big White Whale. And... kind of interesting, the keyboard player did a YouTube video of him doing a cover of 12 Steps from Radiohead just by himself with a loop pedal, then Tom York shared it on his Facebook page. So
15 Steps?
Sure. One of those steps.
That's one of my favorite Radiohead songs.
Yeah, 15 yeah. Steps. So,
that whole album is brilliant.
Yeah.
A lot of people who aren't into Radiohead or haven't been exposed to the right songs by Radiohead almost always like that song. It's kind of like the most... That's the best song to introduce people to Radiohead with, I think.
It was actually featured on the soundtrack of Twilight, which I didn't
Are
know
you
until,
serious?
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh,
yeah,
my
Twilight
God.
Got a hold of it.
Yep. Yeah. That disappoints me.
Which is unfortunate. But, you know,
hey, you
I'm sure he got paid for it accordingly. So.
I he probably heard about it after the fact and was like, oh, you fucking kidding me? That's my best Tom York impression.
What's your worst Tom York impersonation?
Are you fucking kidding me?
I see that. I feel that one was better.
Well, he's gotta have
just a little amendment here. This was edited in. Paul said that people were laughing like away from the microphone. I did by accident, but I want everyone to know I laughed at his worst possible impression of Tom York, but I was away from the microphone. It's my fault because I was texting. I thought it was funny.
Thank
so
you.
So you should have laughed too. If you didn't, you're a
award
satanic.
If you didn't, that's the best thing about podcasts.
Shit.
they can pause it, rewind it, and re-listen to my terrible impression of Time York and then laugh. So please do that right now. We'll stop for a second and let you do that.
What are you talking about, eh? That's my worst Time York impression.
Richie, I don't think I've asked you that in the past like 3 sessions, and I'm kind of interested to know if you've listened to any albums or bands.
No, not really.
Oh.
Actually. I do apologize.
Okay. You know what? This is kind of a random question, but I asked Meow Meow Kitty last time, and I thought it was a pretty general question that you could ask anybody. If we were in the drive-through line at Taco Bell right now, what would you order?
Snossages.
Pepto-Bismol.
They should start giving packets. Yeah.
They should have it on
tap.
Should be
complimentary. I'll have fire sauce and some Pepto-Bismol, please.
Should be complimentary. I actually have not eaten Taco Bell in almost 3 years. As weird as that sounds.
You should be proud of that.
I really don't eat fast food. I'm not really into it. But I guess if I had to choose something, it would be something really basic that wouldn't make me shit all over the place.
I tried
probably
to make
a cheese quesadilla or something. You know, like, I don't know.
Well, I tried to make that move, the whole no fast food thing, and it started with McDonald's. I just couldn't deal with McDonald's anymore, so I didn't really cut fast food out of my life entirely, but I stopped going to McDonald's until they came out.
But now you live in the valley.
Right. Now I live right next door to a McDonald's, and they came out with this fucking $10 dinner box, and I heard Jason ate an entire dinner box by himself, which, for those of you out there who don't know, it's 2 Big Macs, 2 double cheeseburgers, a 10-piece McNugget, and 4 small fries. And now John and I are determined to try and do that. So we have what's called the beef briefcase contest going on.
Briefcase.
Where every once in a while when we get really hungry, we'll just go and buy one and try to eat it ourselves. And it's disgusting, but it's hilarious.
For those of you who don't know, Jason is like, what is he, probably 6'2", weighs about 140 pounds, maybe 150 pounds. That's absurd.
By description, he is a supermodel. When you meet him in real life, you cringe.
Do not look him in the eye. He will not.
But he'll eat
you.
A beef briefcase.
Eating a $10 dinner box from McDonald's for him, that's weird.
What did you call a beef briefcase? That sounds like a movie that, you know.
Yeah. It also sounds like a weird sexual.
Yeah, it sounds like a slang, like beef curtain. Yeah. Pork shield. An
extra big one.
I keep staring at this tequila that you brought me, and I want to drink it, but I just think about gagging instead.
Take a sip of it.
I'll drink it if you don't want it.
Just
treat me nicely.
Let me just take a sip of it. While I'm taking a sip of this, before I do that, for the listeners out there who don't know, obviously Richie, the co-host here, is in a band with Paul Gilbert here.
Hi.
And
Paul Gilbert.
They're called the Violent High Fives. There will be another episode where we have the entire band on. This is a musically filled episode. We also have Zach Lint, who is... I guess you could call Zach Pariah with a Q, but he's also Pariah's ilk. Many different.
One of my aliases is David Bowie.
David Bowie.
I've heard some of my music under that name.
So go to Facebook and follow David Bowie or Zach Lint. Either one.
Also Metallica. That's another one of my projects I go by.
If you look at the name Paul Gilbert, it's not me. That's the guy from Mr. Big and also other popular...
Racer X, yeah.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
Stealing your name like that.
Pretty much.
And Greg here is part of Dissevered, which is... I know you're crazy about genres, so what would you call that?
It's thrashy death metal. You know, it's still a relatively new project. I think we're going to try to... Maybe add some more progressive elements into it, but you know it's mainly a thrash, you know, thrashy death metal band.
I like
a lot
prog
of fun.
Thrash.
I've only been in the band for a couple months, but it's we're working on it.
Revocation.
Yeah, Revocation is sweet, man. That's one of our a big influence of ours for sure.
Oh, that was fucking disgusting.
No, dude, that was delicious.
Anyways,
so at work today there was a little receipt. Paper tube, just like this little plastic tube, and we were just kind of tossing it around on the bars, making it bounce and stuff. And we're hanging out. The manager standing there, the bartender, the hostess. I'm just drinking my tea because I'm sick.
Is it hot? Was it hot tea?
It was hot.
What
ginger
was the
peach. Ginger peach.
Okay.
Ginger peach.
It's really good. Anyhow, Zach walks up and says, "What's this?" And the manager says, "Tony's rape whistle." And someone's like, "Blow it," and Zach says, No, I don't want Tony to get raped." And everyone was like, "What the hell? That's not how it works."
Is that not how it works?
I did not realize I was making that joke at the time that I made it. I completely meant something. I meant like I was gonna throw it away because it looked like trash. So like I didn't want to
oh,
get raped
you,
if I threw away his rape whistle. But now I understand why everyone laughed.
Summon
so much.
The raper.
Okay, it's funny. Yeah,
it would have been funny
it's
the
like
other
the
way too.
Man just burst through.
I'll give myself
a
belated,
oh, yeah.
belated pat on the back. All right.
With the whole okay, the, you just said something that kind of reminded me of something about my personality. I'm very sarcastic, and a lot of the times people can't make me laugh because it's not that it's not funny, but I don't know. It's hard to get me to physically laugh out loud. So a lot of the times, I'll say something throughout the day that is I'm trying to be ridiculous just at all times, and sometimes I'm not trying to be ridiculous, and I'll say something serious, and people will start laughing, and I don't really get the joke.
Is this what your OKCupid profile says?
I don't want to talk about that right now, but yes.
What about later?
Dude, I set up a OKCupid's like a dating site, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Playing it off like
people
well, no,
have
I didn't
said.
Even, it's, yeah, one of those. But,
it's kind of more like redlightdistrict.org.
One time I was just fucking around. I wanted to see, by the way, is swearing okay on the show?
No.
Is this for children?
Fuck no.
Okay.
No.
It's only for
but,
children,
I was,
so fuck yes.
I was fucking around on one of the, I think it was Plenty of Fish, and I created a fake profile under the name Richard Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so
like
many.
Like the lounge? Singer?
Like no,
Richard
like
Cheese?
Well, no. It was before I even knew
oh,
about
wow,
Richard Cheese.
Funny.
I was just thinking Dick Cheese. You know,
right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And dude, I got so many
I think
emails.
That a lot.
I guess, yeah, it's a routine thought that I have. But no, I got so many responses. I didn't even post a picture or anything. It was ridiculous. Makes me wonder how legit it is. I don't know.
Not at
no.
all.
Okay.
That's why they have an entire yeah. show. I don't know what the show's called, but I know there's another site called Plenty of Fish, and
yeah.
they have a show based on. Finding people who have started relationships over this website, and they finally put the two together to meet in real life, and they look nothing like
plenty of
been.
Catfish.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that this, what is it called? Is that what it's
it
called?
It should be.
I don't know. I just when I said that, I pictured myself like Googling in quotes plenty of catfish, and like 10,000 other people came up with that pun already.
Yeah.
Probably so.
It sounds like a
so
like,
I hope we have
like a fish
listeners.
Porn site
yeah.
or something. Maybe I don't know.
I think that'd be fun.
Site.
If it
I
was
do.
Like
I do want to say a little more about OKCupid. I went on there, made
do
a
it.
Profile, and I got two. I got a girl in Germany and one in California to like my music page. By I made one of them very angry by saying I didn't like South Park. That got her attention, and then the other one, I told her she looked like Robert De Niro, which was not true at all. And
did you tell her as a compliment?
No, not really. No, I just said, did anybody ever tell you you look like Robert De Niro? And
she's like all the time.
I
found a really good drummer on there too. I actually changed my preferences to find a drummer because I need a drummer really
male
bad.
Seeking.
And I found this I found this dude in Beaver Falls, PA. And he's got this band. I guess I'm going to promote them. They're called The Ocean Walker, I think. Wait, what is that thing from Arrested Development? The Ocean something.
I haven't seen that since it was on TV.
I don't know. He's a really good drummer, but he might actually master my upcoming demo because he's also a really good
That's pretty
sound
badass. Also yeah, quite awesome. Ironic that you found a male-seeking male at Beaver Falls.
Yeah. Oh, no. He was not. No. This guy's straight. He's not.
Well,
I mean,
I'm not saying
no homo. Nothing wrong with homo, but no homo, but yeah.
No homo, but go homo.
I don't know which go one to homo. End on. Which one like makes it okay to?
We can just segue into my next question, which
okay.
is about gear.
Do it.
Yeah.
Tell me. Let's start with Paul Robinson. Tell me, what kind of guitars do you like to play?
Personally. No.
Impersonally.
Impersonally.
That was a question.
No strings attached.
I'm nowhere near on the level of guitar expertise as the rest of you guys in this room, but I've always been personally gear wise. I think I've had mostly Ibanezes. I've had an Ibanez acoustic. I started off with an Ibanez S series. I had a Destroyer once. They're good guitars. They're decent. I also had a. Fuck. Why can't I remember the name of it?
You had a fuck? Well, good for you.
What's the...
Did you give it
you
away?
You recently bought a Washburn off me,
right?
Right.
Yeah. I have a Washburn. I can't play
a Jackson.
It
you had a Jackson.
Amp. Jackson. That's what it is. I had a Jackson DKMGT. Jackson Dinky.
Which had passive EMGs
yes,
in it.
And it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And I loved that guitar. I never got to play or buy a PRS, but I've always wanted one.
Mm. Came very close to buying a PRS this summer. Chose the Ibanez.
Mm. Also, I like a Crate. Amps.
Hmm.
So there you go.
I thought you were going to say Crate and Barrel. I thought they were making guitars.
Paul Gilbert.
They should, dude. I'd totally buy one of those.
Paul Gilbert.
Well,
Paul Gilbert.
That's Let me guess. Yeah. Ibanez guitars and Laney amps.
I do have an Ibanez. I have a bass upstairs, and then I also have an Articore semi-hollowed out. But my primary guitar that I play is a Taylor that is just plays wonderfully. And my dream guitar is the Taylor T5, which is just about $5,000.
That's
out of my
guitar.
Range. The thing about Guitar Center is you can just pick up anything, and they don't yell at you, which is nice. But I fell in love with the Taylor T5, and I'm like, oh, I don't have $5,000. So one day, maybe. We'll see.
Unless you start playing Nirvana. A lot of people there get really mad if you start playing Nirvana.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, they're an angry band.
They are. They shouldn't be played in public. Not at all.
I think that just because you point out that a certain area smells like a certain deodorant doesn't mean you should have to qualify them as an angry band, but okay.
Yeah.
Zach Lint.
Hey. What's up?
What kind of guitars do you like to play?
I like scratch and sniff guitars. I like free guitars, big woolly ones with tusks.
Woolly mammoth.
They're hard to keep in tune, I'd imagine. You know.
I have a brand new. Well, it's brand new to me. It's very old, several years. Taylor acoustic that my dad decided to give me because my mom was like, "Hey, you should," and he was like, "Fine." that's what I'll be playing today at some point. And then I have electric wise two not very good ones. They're okay. Schecter brown guitar. It is called an Omen 6, I think. And then an Ibanez blue and white one that I really do not know what it's called. And
does the Omen 6 have like skull inlays?
No, it has what are those called? The not scalloped frets, but like
jumbo frets.
Jumbo frets, yeah. Yeah, and it makes them very easy to play. But yeah. It's like, I don't know. They're both from my buddy Chris. He sold them to me over time, and really, they do the trick in the studio, which is all I fucking get to do apparently, except for the show coming up. But we'll promote that later.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. Stay I see tuned, the Ibanez is a common common thread here.
Yes, sir.
I'm all about it. I've invested quite a bit into gear as of late, past year or so. I have a pretty nice collection of Ibanez Prestige guitars, which are hand built in Japan. It's almost their top line. It's right under J Custom, but I have a few of those, and yeah, I'm really sold on the Ibanezes. The lower models, I mean, I don't want to sound like a gear snob or anything. I was never a fan of Ibanez before I played some of their higher-end stuff. And once I picked up my first Prestige, I was sold. It's such a good guitar. As far as, were you inquiring about amps, too?
Mm-hmm.
I like Mesa a lot. I've had a Mark V and a dual rectifier so far. My dual rec actually just died on me the other day, so that sucks. I had a Diesel Herbert for a short time this year, which is a German boutique amp, which costs a small fortune. And I sold it because I couldn't justify having it around because it was so fucking expensive. But I'm also a huge, PV fan. The PV6505 is a great metal amp. I don't know. I like high-gain tube heads, pretty much.
Hey, let me add a couple things I forgot. I really do care about one piece of equipment I own. Other than my Phantom X keyboard, that's not a guitar. PV,
also
Viper.
That thing that you keep hearing is Zach opening and closing a magnet thing.
It's a telescopic magnet picker-upper.
Metal. Okay, PV Viper. It is an amp. It contains the 6505 sound, among many, many sounds. It's a tube and solid-state amp, and it's like the only thing I know of like that, and they stopped selling them after, like, 2009, and I've gone through like three because the first two were messed up and they're impossible to find. I think the one I have now is from like the Las Vegas Guitar Center or something. And it's like you can only get it with tubes if it's like the big kind. But it's amazing. It can make pretty much any PV sound. I'm sure it's not like perfect, but it's really close. And you can plug it in direct too, and it's awesome that way. And then I also, another Ibanez that I own is the Ibanez Soundgear bass. I love Ibanez basses.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
We had one of those in college, and I used it all the time.
Yeah. Speaking of the PV Viper, I have a funny story about that. I was actually in Guitar Center one time, and I was playing on a PV Viper because it is a great modeling amp. You know, it's it nails all the tones. And I actually fried it in the middle of the store. Like, it, yeah. I was playing it, and then all of a sudden I hear this sound,
I
and then
I
smoke,
that
dude.
One.
It was, yeah. I just fried that shit. It was awesome.
Did you tell them about it?
Oh yeah, no, I told them about it.
What
I mean,
do they do when that something like that happens?
Well, I mean, it wasn't my fault. It was I was in there on a Saturday.
I'm sure like everybody plays that
thing. Yeah, well, it was super busy, and I think actually what happened was it surged. There was a power surge, you know, because they had like 8 different amps hooked up to the same strip, and it, you know.
That's got to be a terrible feeling for somebody who does that to like an amp. Like, oh God, I hope I don't have to buy this.
Yeah.
It's so weird how like you feel that way about frying an amp, and then when you fry eggs, the offspring of a bird, you break open their baby's shell before it's even alive, and then you fry that. You're okay, and you just eat it.
Eggs are actually the period of a chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's... I'll fry that shit all day.
There was like a meme I saw online that said something along the lines about how cooking eggs was like the most metal thing ever because you're like eating the
unborn
yeah.
child.
Yeah, the unborn child.
It's the tastiest red wings I've
the
ever gotten.
The unconceived
sure.
child.
Yes.
I like basses.
Basses?
Yeah.
Well. I have like 4 of them. One of my new one is a Fender Dimension Modern Player Series. Yeah, it's got a triple coil pickup that can run in 3 different output levels wired to a 5-way switch.
That is fucking amazing.
Hot damn.
I also have a fretless bass I bought from rondomusic.com.
That fretless bass is awesome.
I did a lot of work to it, and it just, I don't know, plays like a dream. And I don't know, I want to do a lot of work to it, but honestly, I think I love that it's just kind of lo-fi, just I don't know. It's just, it's gnarly the way it is. Putting a different pickup in it, I think, would help. I don't know.
Some Bartolini's.
I don't know. Anyhow.
Plugging.
Yeah, other than that, I play Paul's acoustic Ibanez bass a lot, which is awesome.
That's why it's there.
Yeah.
Communal
for
bass.
For guitars, I have an old Squire Stratocaster that I've modified the fuck out of. I've got a Seymour Duncan... quarter pound staggered SSL7 in the bridge with the dual output level. The split output level is at 7K, pretty standard Strat pickup. The full output is 14, which is double. It's just like you're playing 2 Strat pickups at the same time. It's just plain stupid loud and gnarly. And then I've got another Seymour Duncan in it that has 2 coils. It's a parallel axis stack. It has a little staple magnets in it, and an active shadow single coil picket that outputs at like 14K. Anyway,
hey, you know all those stupid pitchfork bands with those dumb names? What if there's one called Seymour Duncan Donuts?
I'd listen to them.
What's a pitchfork band?
Like from Pitchfork Music Festival? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like Meshuggah, like. Like oh, all those, dude. Like, I'm kidding. No,
I get down with Meshuggah.
No, I'm just kidding. They wear like shirts of Pitchfork. No, just like those bands that last like 1 year. They have a girl in the band, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But like they have to. And
Hailstorm.
Then,
yeah.
And then
it's kind of like affirmative action for
no,
bands.
No. Definitely not metal bands. Like they're like anti-metal, which is why I hate them. They like don't even acknowledge progressive metal bands. Like they'll review anything that's not progressive metal. I think that's their slogan, but.
Fuck
I just
that,
yeah, you
dude.
Know what? I'm just going to take this time to say Pitchfork, if you're listening, which you obviously are, you're a piece of shit. I pretend that you're a person and I draw a picture of what you I visualize you as in my mind on the wall and I throw darts at it.
I hope all the fellow Redditors that follow me will grab their pitchforks and go to Pitchfork and start some shit.
Burn.
Yeah, if you're not into prog metal, man, I don't know. I'm a huge prog nerd.
Yeah, me too.
All about prog.
On that note, after
they were
some
okay
music,
with Watershed. They were like, it's okay.
Yeah.
After some music gear talk, I think the listeners probably want to check out some music. So let's throw on Zach's song What's it called again?
You're not actually doing this, though, because we don't even have it. Sorry.
The magic of editing.
They know it's above everything. The man behind the curtain.
It's called Let Me Sing. It's it starts to, the first like few couple lines are about a girl, and then I just go insane after that.
All right. So here's a song by Zach Lint. Follow him on Facebook, and it's called Let Me Sing.
We're creepy pacifistas in a hairy harlequin. We're sleepily domestic literary arbitrum. We're creepily invested in a barely started fling. Oh, why won't you let me sing? Extracted from the branches and the names are defeatum. We'll have enough to squarely in an aid in arboretum. We'll last an ossuary and contagious filter spring. Oh, why won't you let me sing? Why won't you let me sing? Lee-la-lee-la-lee-la-lee. Why won't you let me sing? It barely even means a freaking thing. Why haven't you attempted to reveal the bad dilemma? No slapping through the pencil, a TV and antenna. To crack to do an effort to appeal the barreling. Oh, why won't you let me sing? Your fantasies are yes, indeed, it's just my delusion. We let us eat in every teeth, the food like guys are good. Plans for your utterly deluded by bidding. Yes, why won't you let me sing? Why won't you let me sing? La-lee-la-loo-la-lee-la-lee-ling. Why won't you let me sing? It barely even means a freaking, barely even means a freaking, barely even means a freaking thing. Righteously addictive. This isn't just insipid triple blinding me from business. In this incoming innocence, frisk lives on rattling. Oh, why won't you let me sing? If queasies is winning the game, and I'm a seed, we just split it and skip it off the beat. Skip it and skip it and skip it off the sing. Oh, why won't you let me sing? Why won't you let me sing? Why won't you let me sing? It really means freaking, really means freaking. Why won't you let me sing? Why won't you let me sing?
All right, well, that was a fucking great song by Zach Lint, as we just heard. And, you know.
We actually heard it.
Yeah, it was great.
Support local music.
Yeah. If you didn't like it, just keep in mind that Zach is actually Richie's cousin, and that's the only reason he's on this show.
And
so.
I'm in your closet.
Right, well, this is a basement.
No, he's in like collectively.
Oh,
yeah.
All of the listeners.
That's
terrifying.
So if you didn't like it,
check your closet.
Have your dad come check your closet.
Yeah. Dad. Over the break, we were boofing tequila. For those of you who don't know what boofing is,
anal consumption.
Yeah. Butt chugging, as Greg calls it.
Butt chugging.
But
it's common in the South, you know.
So you got anybody hear about this whole? You guys know what The Interview is, that movie?
I saw a preview for it when I recently saw it.
It's got
the whole North Korea bullshit.
It's got Seth Rogen and James Franco in it, and the whole premise.
They were talking about that all day.
Right.
All
the whole premise day. About it is that they go to North Korea to kill Kim Jong Un. And Kim Jong-un is not happy about this, and he said, if you guys release this movie, it's an act of war, and we are going to attack you 9/11 style. Lo and behold, Sony gets hacked. 1.1 terabytes of information go missing. That's like years of movies in the works that had, you know, just went up and missing, and North Korea comes out and says that they did it.
They said they
didn't do it, and now somebody straight up asked them, was it you guys? It really, you know, it's the only thing that makes sense. And what they said in quotations, you know, who knows what they actually said, because they speak North Korean, who the fuck knows what they're saying
exactly.
It says wait and see. That was a few days ago. The story's already developed further along. Sony said they are no longer going to release the movie because they think originally they just asked if Seth and James and them would just edit out the part where they kill Kim Jong-un, because apparently it's very graphic. And they agreed to cut it back a little bit, and people were upset just about that because of the whole editing thing. But now they're just scrapping the whole thing altogether, and the movie's not going to be released.
Wait, so that's the plot?
The plot is that they go to kill Kim Jong-un.
Oh.
They should make a movie about this movie.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be called The End of the World.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. If North Korea says this is an act of war and they actually want to come fight us, fuck, let them. Because
they're not going to get anything done.
I mean, all of the money in this country on the fucking military. I mean, the reason North Korea even exists in the way it does is because they hate us. Like, they live because of their hatred for the United States of America.
That's metal.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
So let them come fight us. That would be hilarious.
The thing is, like, you can't have like a war like in like the streets here in America, because we have drones that will blow things up as soon as it comes. It's got to be like a terrorist attack.
Yeah. The only thing that's going to happen is they're going to send a bomb, which they have. Let me just point out, they have never tested any bombs. Yeah. They've never done it. So chances are they just launch a bomb and it lands on them fucking selves.
They just have like one of those like bowling balls with like the wick. And you're right. Like, here you go.
I think Kim Jong-un is a stand-up guy.
Stand-up comedian?
I'd have him for dinner.
He seems really, really nice.
I mean,
really,
really invite him over for dinner.
Yeah, he's.
I wouldn't eat him. No. Maybe I'd eat him. I don't know.
Barbecue, man.
I've never seen him like, you never see pictures of him like smiling at something bad happening, because he never smiles.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen.
Can't
him.
We just throw like Rodman in that
I've
movie
seen
and
him
he'll
smile.
Be like, all right, it's cool. Didn't he like love Dennis Rodman?
There are so many reasons that this is causing like a huge media upstroke, and I think it's because, well, first of all, Sony's a Japanese company, so they don't want anything to do with this. They're like, all right. They're threatening us with. They're taking that 1.1 terabytes of movies and saying, "You either do this to the movie, or we release this shit." Like, as soon as that shit got hacked, I'm gonna say a friend of mine that I know went on Pirate Bay and looked up some movies, and like 10 movies that haven't even been released in theaters were downloadable. So they're fucking them up big time, money wise.
Great.
It's great
free
for us.
Movies.
Yeah.
It's
free
not
the
good
nipple.
For Sony. They're pissed about that. And then there's also the fact that people aren't happy about the whole censorship in America. You're literally not going to release a movie that you spent years making because Kim Jong-un doesn't like the way it makes him look, even though Team America came out and his dad was a fucking puppet. Like,
you know what, Kim Jong-un?
They're pulling that as well.
I don't like the way you make you look. The way you make you look.
I think he looks pretty cool in the commercial.
Yeah, I believe that.
People bitch about American censorship, but then, you know, if a pair of tits get shown on TV, you know. It's the end of the world.
Parrot tits?
I don't.
Parrot tits?
Parrot tits. A pair of breasts. Female breasts.
It's all about the children. Everybody's like, I don't want my kid
which
to see this goddamn boobs.
It's a bullshit argument, you know? I don't know.
I was thinking about that today at work. Don't ask me why that's one of the things I think about when I'm working.
But I always think about
boobs. I was thinking about sex education. Like the people that rail against... like earlier sex education are like the same people who like are all about like you can only have sex if you're going to reproduce. So like, doesn't that make more sense? Like if you taught kids how it works, wouldn't it be like scientifically like, oh, if you're going to have sex, it's to make babies. Like, and then the same people like the Christian fundamentalists that are all, do you get what I'm saying here?
Women typically do have babies.
I just wanted people to know how the birds and bees work, basically.
I think the people who rally against early childhood sex education and, you know, who are the supporters of abstinence only stuff are the same people who are like getting caught banging. You know,
yeah,
the same sex
too.
In the bat,
yeah.
Like the politicians who are like saying, oh, you know, so anti-gay marriage. And then they get caught a couple weeks later banging some dude in a bathroom stall. You know, I think it's those type of people. It's like, oh, yeah, abstinence only. And then they're going to like freaky European shit sex parties and stuff.
That's just because everybody fucking lies through their teeth. And I think the with each next generation, we start to get more hip to the jive. We kind of understand what the fuck's going on, and we don't believe what anybody's saying, so at this point it doesn't really matter. Just tell the fucking truth. Stop hiding boobies from TV, because you can just go to Cinemax and watch it when you're 13 years old. I did it. My son's gonna do it. Mm-hmm. My daughter's gonna do it.
Yeah. Cinemax. Hey, kids, feel like don't listen to that. Paul. You can go to the internet. There's pornography sites all over the place.
And it's free.
I'm just
going to
make
Skinamax
it so
is
I
too
can
expensive.
Show my children someday. I'm just going to make my own porn. I'm going to be like, look, this is how it's done.
That's to be mother. Honest, though, I'm kind of like anti-porn at this point. Not like for all of humanity. I think it helps like like civilization as a whole because it makes us docile and wimpy. But I think that as an individual, it detracts from one's success. At least it has for me personally. So I kind of abstain from such a thing.
Well, porn, in the sense that it kind of have any of you guys seen the movie Don John?
Not yet.
Okay, it's not really that good of a movie, but it has a good.
Look like it.
It has a good. It basically tells you that if you watch enough porn, you get the wrong idea about what girls want, and you kind of treat them like shit because of it. But in turn, girls kind of do like that. At least some of them do, like when guys are assholes and treat them like shit and fucking choke them and hit them in bed. I'm not into that, but some girls are, and I feel like the extent of that is probably to do with all the fucking the crazy ass porn that they have out there that guys are watching, and they're like, okay, this is what girls like.
And so, girls too. Yeah. I feel like the reason why a lot of girls get into that stuff, man. I mean, girls watch just as much porn as guys do.
So wait, you're not supposed to pay attention to a girl for like 3 minutes, then take a nap.
I think that people get the wrong impression because it's like they get into like jobs like construction and like plumbing and stuff because they think they're just gonna get laid every single day. like oh, let me repair the sink. Like, they just expect to have sex with the client.
Yeah. That's kind of what I thought when I became a pizza guy. I was you ordered an extra large sausage. Where's my hand job?
Triple anchovy pizza.
Has anything like that ever happened? Like on
No, but trust me. No. Like when I
not
first
personally
started
do, but
there,
like anyone. Like,
anytime
that you
I delivered
with?
To like a single hot mom, I was just like, oh, just come on, just put it through the box. What is she gonna do? What is she gonna do? Yeah.
Call the police is probably.
Yeah,
what
and
she
it probably
would...
I wouldn't be able to keep it hard. I mean, the pizza's hot. My dick's gonna be burning. It's covered in cheese.
Well, you have to
is
practice fucking pizzas. You have to start having sex with pizza.
Yeah,
first.
I mean,
then you get the job, and then
free sweet icing on the side.
Yes. You know, going back to the whole porn issue, though, like honestly, I feel like people just care about themselves. I don't think people really give a shit. Like all these people that rally so hard for some cause, whatever cause it may be, porn. Or any of the other recent crazy bullshit that's been happening. You know, it's nobody really cares. Like people try to be justice warriors and, you know, they try to be socially righteous, but nobody gives a shit.
Well, about that's the
anybody,
thing. No, I think it's like, I think it's helping to, I think it's helping like make humans like less aggressive and terrible as they once were. I think it kind of like makes us all retreat to our rooms and just like be a little more peaceful and consider it, honestly, if you look at statistics, they kind of support that a lot of times. But, like, I think for an individual, it just kind of, like, it just kind of takes the chutzpah out of you. Like, I think it's the same thing as just, like, working out. I don't know. I just see it as, like, not exercising and, like, watching porn. Those kind of go together for me personally.
Well, I do
like,
both of those things.
Yeah, I try to. I'm trying very hard to do the opposite right now, and it seems to be a good, the right thing to do
for
me personally.
Watching Backdoor Sluts 9. You know.
What you're saying about nobody caring though, it's all like the whole perception is reality. Everybody says that because that's the truth. Everybody's just in their own head, their own life, and even if somebody, there are people out there who I think genuinely care for other people. I kind of disagree with that, but the majority of people are just worried about themselves. But that's not to say that they aren't trying to better society as a whole so that they're in a better place.
I'm a pessimist.
Well, so am I.
And a misanthropist.
And me.
I'm a nihilist. What's that? Is that the same?
And a nihilist.
Is that a type of pessimist or is it the other one?
Nihilism is essentially like there's no point to life, which I completely agree with. I don't think there's any point or purpose.
Well, I disagree with that. I mean, you guys watch porn, right?
Yeah.
I don't.
The rocks off.
I mean, I'm watching porn right now.
Well, another thing about the whole porn thing is, you know, and this goes to anything, it all depends on what you use it for. You know, people...
Masturbation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, if you're using it just to get your rocks off, man, cool. But if you're trying to learn something from
it, I use it to get my rocks on.
Yeah. It's the same thing with, like, drug use, you know? If you use it to relax you, cool. But if you use it as a, you know, self-medicating for something deeper, it's... if it works for you, then
well,
great.
That's how you get to addiction.
Yeah,
that's the whole Don John movie is about, the dude being addicted to it. And even though this dude who's like really good looking and works out all the time and has a great job, has this really fucking hot girlfriend that supports him and loves him, he's got a great life. but he still masturbates like 5 times a day just because he it gets more excited and gets off easier on porn than he does with like this fantastic fucking hot girl that he has as a girlfriend.
Still healthy to jerk off when you're in a relationship, kids.
It's true.
I agree.
With that said, let's take a listen to Greg's band, Dissevered. We'll play a track for you here right now. Do you have a specific track that you want us to play for you?
Let's go ahead and do The Paradox.
Paradox?
Yeah.
The Paradox?
The Paradox.
All right. Follow his band on Facebook?
Yeah. Facebook, Dissevered. Go to our band page. We have our not complete album, but currently 5 tracks, you know, sort of like an EP. It's all recorded and ready for your listening pleasure.
All right. Check it out.
Let me soar above hatred, blue.
I actually just read this article written by this guy who's like biology and physics at MIT, talking about the nature of the universe and why life exists in general. And it basically just has to do with the fact that energy exists and entropy exists.
I have read an article about that recently.
Yeah, there's a lot of
I think it makes perfect sense.
I consider myself a master of English, and I'm disappointed to say that I don't know what the word entropy is. So please.
Entropy.
It's more of a chemistry term more than anything.
Well, no, I mean it's physics too. It's the notion that all systems will eventually revert to the lowest state of energy potential, kinetic or otherwise. So like the fact that you push a ball across the floor, the reason why it eventually stops, besides friction, is because of entropy. That's the lowest state of energy for that object. In a chemical reaction, let's say you mix a simple vinegar and baking soda, the reason why it reacts in the first place is because those are two unstable versions of a compound, and they want to be a more stable version, which is actually of lower energy than those two combined or separately.
I don't mean to contradict you here. I don't really know enough about the subject to have an informed opinion, but my understanding of it was I thought it was the idea that living things versus non-living things give off heat. Entropy is the radiation of heat molecules.
Yeah, that's
dictionary.com says that entropy is a function of thermodynamic variables as temperature, pressure, or composition that is a measure of the energy that is not available for work during a thermodynamic process. In other words, a closed system evolves toward a state of maximum entropy. Thank you, dictionary.com.
So if you have one thing at, say, at 100 and the other at 0 and it's in a closed system, you know, it's if you take one from 100, it's going to go to the other side. So slowly it's going to start meeting in the middle and then, you know, juxtaposing to the other side and then going back. It's the giving off in a closed cycle. Cycling energy.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think many things. I've kind of drifted off to words that I don't understand.
Sorry, I took a nap.
Yeah. So, hey, hi.
Paul.
Yes.
Let's get into entertainment talk. We need to come up with like a fancy sound for that.
Oh, like, yeah. Or like even just a cool ringer tagline. It's time for entertainment time.
It's entertainment. Yes. All right, so this is probably going to be the last part of the show, and then we'll end it on a jam session.
Yeah.
Which should be pretty rat-a-tat-tat.
Neato.
Not the Disney movie. Actually, that would be a sequel.
Me and Greg are going to be formally introduced.
Yes, musically.
Yes.
With your ears.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
What are three movies, TV shows, or books that you think everybody should check out before they die?
MASH the movie, the Brady Bunch movie, and Soundgarden the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And TV shows, I like infomercials. You should check out infomercials. I also like commercials. Those are cool. And Fox News. Everything on Fox News. Just watch Fox News
like
all the
time. Like Guy Fox News or?
Just everything.
Like the O'Reilly.
Okay, actually, no, you know what? I'll be serious for 1 second. I honestly think the best show on TV is called Red Eye. It is on Fox News. I'm not even kidding you. It is like my dad just like keeps Fox News on 24/7. It hasn't changed. I go back there to visit and he still just has it on every day. My mom's like, you can turn that off if you want. I'm like, you can turn that off if you want. Pfft, you obviously don't want to. Anyway, I do I do usually turn it off because it's annoying. I don't have bias. I don't care about news sources. But anyway, Red Eye with Greg Gutfeld is an amazing show. It is hilarious. They don't tell you to be racist. They don't tell all the things that Fox News, you know, supposedly does. This show does not do. They just have this guy who used to work for Maxim as the host, and he just says stuff that doesn't make sense. And he has other people come on, like these panelists. They come on and they say things that just don't really matter. And they have some really cool musical guests, and then you get to meet those people and find out they're pretty interesting characters as well. That's the only show I can think of right now, except for I also love Comedy Bang Bang and the Eric Andre Show. I don't watch movies.
Eric Andre Show is awesome.
I've never beautiful. Seen that.
You know, speaking of the Fox News thing, I actually read a really interesting book recently. It's called The Atheist in the Foxhole. And it's essentially about, like, this guy. He was a production assistant for the O'Reilly Factor for, I want to say close to 10 years. And he was a closet liberal, you know, and at Fox News, there's a very fraternal attitude, apparently, of, you know, being conservative and whatnot. And basically, it was just this guy. The story is that he eventually gets fed up with everything, particularly after Obama's election, because I guess Fox News, you know, started going nuts after that. And essentially what he did was he leaked some inside information to Gawker, which is sort of an alternative news outlet. And he ended up getting, you know,
axed.
Axed, for lack of a better term. But yeah, it's just interesting because, you know, he writes about all of the inner workings at the actual Fox network, you know, and it might be exaggerated, but everything they say is true.
I'm gonna promote Fox News one more time in another strange way. Go to YouTube and type in Dillinger Escape Plan Fox News. I bet you're a Dillinger fan, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You should watch their news lady interview Dillinger Escape Plan. I'm pretty sure she comes 5 to 7 times during the interview. It's amazing.
Audibly?
It's just like you don't put Dillinger Escape Plan in a room with a Fox News anchor, and they did that, and she's just like squirming the whole time. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's one thing I learned from porn. Girls who come silently are not fun. No fun.
Paul? Gilbert?
Paul? I just got done watching a documentary called I Know That Voice, and it's something that was put together by Joe DiMaggio, who does the voice of Bender and Jake the Dog on Adventure Time. And it's just this whole documentary about voice acting, which is something that always kind of piqued my interest from early on. And it just kind of goes through like the history, and you get to see like all these people that like do all the voices of all these shows that you watch growing up. And you're like, oh, wait, he did that and that and that. And Billy West is on there, and he did like tons of voices. He did Doug, and he does Bugs Bunny and Fry from Futurama. So it's definitely worth a watch.
If you enjoy that, you should check out, I listen to the Nerdist podcast all the time.
I just started
listening to that. I started doing this podcast. Yeah. There's an episode where they have Joe DiMaggio and Billy West on, and it's an hour and a half of them just doing whatever he wants them to do. He's like, do this voice and this voice. It's like, there's one where it's like Ren and Bender having a conversation, and it's awesome.
They
awesome.
They did something at one of the Comic-Cons. It's on YouTube, and they read the script to Star Wars, and they have all these voice actors, so they just kind of like switch places, and like, and now Obi-Wan's gonna be Bender, and now, you know, they have all these different things. It's really fun to watch.
Awesome. What about you, Greg?
Well, I'm currently reading a pretty fascinating book, which is actually also a movie now. I don't really know how long ago it came out, but the book that I'm reading is called Let the Right One In. And it's a horror book. It takes place in Sweden, I believe, modern time.
And they did a remake of it called Let Me In. Am I correct? Is it about the vampire girl?
I'm not sure. It's about what?
The vampire girl, the little girl that's...
Yes,
a,
yeah.
Dude,
so
that
far,
movie's
I'm only
fucking awesome.
I'm only a few chapters into it. I've never seen the movie, but the book so far is fantastic.
The movie's fucking crazy, too.
Yeah, I need to check it out.
There's like a Japanese version of the movie called Let the Right One In. I've heard it's better than the American version, but the American version is awesome, too.
And also, it's kind of funny because I'm, you know, my girlfriend and I are just now kind of getting caught up with all these popular TV series shows like Breaking Bad and Mad Men and The Walking Dead and stuff like that. We just finished Breaking Bad a little while ago, a couple weeks ago.
Great show.
Excellent show, yeah. Normally, I don't really jump on... I try not to jump on, like, hype bandwagons because I'm a hipster and I'm too cool.
I don't even understand
that,
how a show about like meth became such a big show.
I know, right? It's it's Bryan Cranston. I mean, right, the whole Malcolm in the Middle thing. But yeah, we tried to watch Mad Men. A little too dry for my taste.
The first season?
We got all the way up into the middle of the second season.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I would just stop then.
Yeah.
Usually a lot of people stop after the first season. I can see why, because it's pretty boring the first season. But if you're not into it by the second season,
I still don't understand it. I don't know why I continue. Actually, I kind of stopped.
I'm just interested in the characters.
Yeah.
I love the writing.
It's very, very much about the time period. You know,
yeah.
it's pretty much what
it's all about, is just the time period.
But now we're in the middle of the second season of The Walking Dead, which is a fantastic show. It's weird because I've never really gotten into the whole zombie thing. I don't get the fascination. It's fucking impossible. Like, all right, so here's my question: if zombies were real, why would they have the instinct to attack people?
Oh, because
what's
they desire
the
flesh. They need flesh because they're dead already and they need to eat, Greg.
And if they're dead, wouldn't their bodies be so brittle and weak that they wouldn't really be able to do any damage? I mean, I could totally understand the whole zombie thing where it's like an infection or a virus, you know, sort of like a 28 days
later
type
thing. Yeah,
that's
why 28 days later is by far the best.
I've never understood the whole, you know, traditional people being dead and then, you know, coming back to life as a zombie type thing.
I'm still scared of skeletons.
I'm trying to figure out why skeletons would be scary. I feel like I could just push it over.
Yeah.
Because they have no muscle. They're not strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like The Walking Dead does zombies right, because they don't focus on anything that they pretty much assume that if you're watching the show, you already know everything about zombies. And
yeah,
they just focus on story detail.
That is a book I'm reading. I am reading the survival guide, the zombie survival guide. Just, you can never be too careful. I mean, it's
that shows a lot of ups and downs, though. Get ready for like a couple really shitty seasons and a couple really good seasons. Like, it goes down and up and down. Like, it lost me like on the third season, and then it comes back the fourth. And this last one is
Interesting thing about the zombie survival guide. I just found this out recently. The government actually has a contingency plan.
They do.
For a zombie outbreak, which is sort of interesting. I don't know. You know, maybe it's metaphorical. Maybe.
If you like 20, like we were just talking about 28 days later, that whole setup they do for how the infection spreads, I think that's completely plausible.
Yeah. You know, some sort of biochemical warfare, you know.
There's a plant that I think it's a plant or like a fungus that like ants will eat, and it gets into the ant's brain and controls them. Yeah, I'm sure you've all heard it.
Yeah.
And the ants will they're dead, but they're reanimated and they're still moving around and doing ant things.
What if that's just like symbolism for what we are?
Yeah, I mean that's what happens when you smoke too much weed, pretty much. You're just doing what the weed wants.
Circle back to the Taco Bell. That's
exactly.
It's a full circle.
Yeah.
Which is a great song by a great band.
And then porn eventually.
Okay. That guy, Scott Staff's all like crazy now, and he said
Half
that
Moon Run.
ISIS is in his family.
No, fuck no.
Hey, listen, everybody, go back, find the song. I can't remember what it's called. The first song on the album, people only know Creed's Power Ballads. There's like the second track on the album that has My Sacrifice, the one after Human Clay, their last album, or their last album that counted. There's a really good song. I'm not even kidding. He says something about like,
arms wide open.
No, man. They have some really good, really heavy songs, and people overlook it. They also have some awful, awful songs.
I mean, did you listen to our last
I've never heard someone
episode?
Say a bad word
like
about Creed. That is surprising to me.
I'm not going to lie.
We talked about
Creed
quite a bit in the last episode.
That's right.
And we pointed out that Mark Tremonti is quite a badass.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
For all sure. Right.
Everyone in my high school had like one of those like warlock guitars and just played nothing but.
It's just kind of sad that Scott Stapp's like asking fans for money so that he can make a solo album when the entire band kicked him out and created their own band.
Well, I guess he's actually schizophrenic.
He's asking fans for money so he can like live in a house again.
I think he like lives in a car and like rides a bicycle.
Get a job. That's what I have to do.
Turns out I was wrong about the entropy thing.
Oh yeah.
That is something else. I don't know what I think there's a word for the thing I was talking about, but I'm not sure what it is.
Maybe the listeners can figure out. If you do, email us at akronhour@gmail.com.
Science nerds!
Call into this podcast now.
Entropy is just the tendency for things to go wacky in a system, in a state or something, represented by S in mathematics. It is just the symbol for chaos and disorder.
Huh. Yes.
Second definition is even better.
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
Was there a third one for you? You got what? Walking Dead. What was the first one? Let Me In and the...
Oh, yeah. Let's see. We have movies, TV, and books. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a movie to not fucking watch is the new Carrie. I don't know if you guys are Stephen King fans.
Oh, Carrie as in the car movie.
No, that's Christine. Carrie is the movie where the girl had like a super religious mom. And she got invited to prom by the popular dude and gets pig blood spilled on her head and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, the original was a fantastic movie. It was
doesn't
great.
She light everyone on fire with her brain?
She just destroys the entire like high school and starts killing a bunch of people and shit.
But isn't like, she like telepathic or something?
Yeah, she is telepathic. She can move stuff with her mind. But dude,
telekinetic.
Yeah, that's what it is. I watched the remake last night, and holy shit, was that the most awful movie I've ever seen in my life. Don't watch it.
All right.
Yeah.
Were you talking about a book earlier?
Let the Right One In.
Oh.
Yeah, we got... I haven't really watched any good movies lately. I don't know about you guys.
I'm glad you said book. That was like a maverick thing to do. Like, what TV and movies do you like? And you're like, well,
I said book. TV, movies, yeah. And books.
Oh, shh. Yeah. Oh, shush.
Yeah, well, anyways, I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up. Let's before we lead into the jam that we do with you guys, let's throw in some plugs. Let's first of all, I'm just going to let you guys know that we really do want your feedback on the show, and we also want any guests out there who want to be on the show to let us know, because I'm not talking to everybody in the world as I should be. So once again, email us at akronhour@gmail.com. Remember to listen to the show on soundcloud.com, because that's the best way to tell how many listeners we have, but it's even better for you to just really subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Because in the long run, it just having subscribers is better.
That's what
free.
I do.
It's also free.
$0.
Free.
Free. I'm a super freedom. Fan. I've listened to all three episodes.
Ooh.
And I'm listening
trial
to
episode
this.
Two?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's impressive. According
Thank
to
you.
SoundCloud, there's only like 7 people who have actually listened to all of them. But that's still more than I thought. So.
Thank you.
But shit, we have 170 people who have listened to the first episode. Goes down pretty quickly to like
30.
A 60 or something on the second one, but we're already up to like 72 on the Meow Meow Kitty episode, so that's pretty badass.
Nice,
but that none of that counts the iTunes crap, so we have no idea how many people are following us on iTunes, but whatever. Zach, plug your shit.
My shit is the best. It is the coolest, and it rocks. So check it out. Yeah, okay. I've been very stressed out for 5 years trying to put together the best music on earth. It's hard. It's lonely at the top. It's daunting. I hate that word, daunting. That makes me angry. I'm using words I don't even like. Pariah's Ilk, tentatively, is the title for this band. I hate the name. I don't like saying it out loud. It's embarrassing. But type it, which isn't embarrassing, into your computer. And find this show that's coming up on January 3rd, 2015. I'm opening for Anchor the Moon, and I'm opening for... Well, that was really disorganized. Let me start over. Edit all that out. My name is Zach Lint, and I'm the singer/guitarist of Pariah's Ilk. And we're going to be playing a show on January 3rd, 2015, opening for Anchor the Moon and the Brothers Band. It's at Empire Concert Club. It's going to cost you $10 unless you get tickets from me or one of those two bands ahead of time. Then it will only be $5. Either way, you're going to have lots of Christmas money from Christmas, because it's January 3rd. You just had Christmas. You will not be back in school yet. It's a Saturday, January 3rd. You will be partying. It's at 8 p.m. it starts. Come watch us play. I will be playing all the songs. My cousin Richie over there talking about science, he's going to be playing bass on two of the songs. We're going to have various drummers. We're going to have various guitarists. and it's okay. In all seriousness, it's going to be the best thing you've seen in a very long time.
Really?
Been working very hard on this for many years.
I'll be there.
Thank you.
So if I have any, if I have any podcast fans out there, and you just want to come to say hi to me, you can come to hang out with me.
Yeah, we'll
to
have
support Zach's band.
Well, Paul says there's a big following in Florida, and I want all 60 of you people who watch this in Florida to get the fuck up here on January 3rd.
Yeah, we do have a lot of Florida listeners, so I don't know who you guys are, but thanks.
Yeah. Shout out to Florida.
Florida.
Oh, also, one more plug. I have actually quite a bit of music up online. The only official release-ish that I have, sort of, is called Slept to Death Demo. It's 5 songs that eventually I'm going to re-record, but they're pretty good in their current state, I'd like to think.
They are good. I've heard them.
I like
paid
that.
For it.
And thank you. And so we'll be playing some of those songs live. You can go listen to it at Bandcamp, Zach Pariah, Z-A-Q, pariah.bandcamp.com. Also, my Facebook page is Zach Pariah Music. The URL is facebook.com/zint.music, Z-I-N-T. I have a lot of things to sort out. I am not sure what band name I want to use, so chill out. All right.
Hey, listeners, give us your suggestions.
Yeah, if you prefer a band name and you think one is better than the other, let us know.
And no, I will not use the band name Florentine Fluoride.
I'll use that.
I'll take it.
Right for the pickings.
Do you have any plugs, Paul?
As you mentioned before, I am in a band with Richie over there, and previous podcast listeners would recognize Seth Grable as the drummer. We're in a band called The Violent High Fives. We don't have any shows coming up just because we're all in kind of hibernation mode for the winter, but we are recording a demo right now that should be hopefully coming out sometime soon as I can get down in this basement and try to record more of it. But, you know, we do various open mics around Akron. You know, the Highland Tavern has one on Sunday, and there's Jilly's on Wednesdays, and there's more than I can probably think of or know about. But we have a Facebook page that we never post on, so you can look at us there, I guess. But Violent High Fives.
Paul has a beautiful voice.
Well, thank you.
Speaking and singing.
Hi, Amanda.
And Amanda too. She'll be here when
I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
For all you metalheads out there, check out The Severed on Facebook. It's I think you'll like it. Hope
spell
you
it
do.
Please, because I needed
it's,
it.
It's D I S S E V E R E D. Dissevered. And yeah, it's heavy. It's good. We're still working on things. It's still a relatively new project. We don't have any shows lined up just yet. But as soon as we do, it'll be on our Facebook, and you can come check us out. And also, Ibanez Guitars, because I'm trying to get an endorsement. So.
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 4 of the Akron Hour podcast. The last plug I'm going to throw out there is we recently joined the Nerd Podcast Coalition on Facebook. I believe there are 10 plus different podcasts that have come together on Reddit, and we're all doing each other a favor of mentioning the Nerd Podcast Coalition, which is us as a group. And if you check us out on Facebook, it has all of our podcasts and the links to everything we have. With that said, we're going to close out with a original jam session that we are going to record right now with Greg Blair and Zach Lynn.
Unscripted.
Completely improv.